Praise God. Just before we get into this morning, last week was Vision Sunday. We had a great morning. If you missed Vision Sunday, just put your hand up. And you didn't get a vision pack last week for whatever reason, there's one for everyone. Just put your hand up. The stewards that have been running around crazy want to keep running around. They enjoy keeping fit. So keep your hand up if you missed that. Also, if you forgot to bring with you this morning, which we asked everyone to bring last week, your Book of Life prayer. If you forgot to bring that, put your other hand up. Left hand means I need a vision pack. Right hand means I forgot the Book of Life. If you're confused, put them both up. Doesn't matter. You'll get something. So if you need one of these ones as well, we're going to do the Book of Life prayer a little bit later on this morning. But just so if you missed the vision pack, just keep your hand up until you get what you want. All right. So you need a vision pack, or if you need a Book of Life prayer, if you sit the whole service, we'll just keep waving at you until you get something. But praise God. Well, we did have a great morning. And don't forget, there is tonight as well, so we're going to have a great night at the Cafe Nine. Praise God. Our theme for the year is Kingdom Reign, and we're really excited about all that God is going to do and speak to us through this year with our theme of Kingdom Reign. We've got a main scripture this year that we'll be looking at, really the theme hangs on, and that's in Psalm 145. And it says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, your dominion endures for all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving to all he has made. And that's the main scripture that you're going to be seeing this year that we'll be sharing on and talking about. It's a very wonderful verse about the kingdom of God. We're going to talk a little bit about this verse this morning. Before we do that, I want to have a look at the context of this scripture. I want to have a look at this little passage. And so we're going to read it. It'll come up on the screen there. But if you've got a Bible, it's better to follow it along because you can underline and make notes in your Bible. I trust that you do that. You write on your Bible, as they say. If it's too good to write on, throw it away and get one you can write on. It's Psalm 145. We're going to read down from verse 8 to verse 20, which really gives us the context of the verse, which is our theme for the year, hinges on that particular verse. But we want to read all of the scriptures around it just to have a good understanding as it talks about his kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord. It says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all and has compassion on all he has made. And all you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all that he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you. All comes up a lot, doesn't it? The eyes of all look to you when you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And there's a lot in this wonderful passage which talks about the kingdom of God and just frames this whole verse, which is so wonderful for us in our theme for the year. I like the way that it starts about telling us a little bit about the nature of the Lord. And if we don't even got a handle of it, maybe you just came to church for the first time today, because last year we spent the year talking about radical love. We talked about the incredible love of Jesus Christ that sent him to the cross, the love of the Father that sent Jesus to come and to die on the cross in our place for our sins, to take the punishment that we each and every one of us deserve. We heard about the wonderful love of God. What an incredible love. What a radical love. And radical love, we talked about the center, which is source of that love, comes from God, and it all hinges around the cross. And so it's a great little lead-in to really what we want to talk about as we have a look this year. But he is a gracious and compassionate God, not the angry, judgmental God. He's just looking for you to make a mistake so he can pounce on you. He's loving and gracious is compassion, and slow to anger and rich in love. And he's good to all he has. Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And Lord's love and grace is extended towards us. This year, with our theme of kingdom reign, which we introduced last week, and there is three aspects which really this whole passage really contains those. And I want to draw those out a little bit before we have a look at some of the other aspects that this passage brings out. The first aspect that really we have in our theme for this year, as you saw in our DVD last year, is that we're living to honour the King of Kings. And it's really about living a life saying, Lord, because we call him Lord and we call him King, and we say, Lord, but it's really living a yielded life to his sovereignty, to acknowledge his lordship, to acknowledge his kinship over every aspect of our lives. And as it says, they're choosing to put God and his kingdom first in our lives. And we always say that, you know, write down the most important thing. Oh, we always write down God. But sometimes when the actual outcome of our life and the way that we live our life and the way that we spend our time and what we do and what seems to motivate us, what seems to inspire us, and maybe sometimes that always isn't right where it should be. And so part of the challenge this year is really to having that, is that putting God in our lives, to put him first, but to live to honour him, to live a life that honours God, and to be able to, and the end of our days, which will all end at some stage, is to be able to say, but we won't be saying it, but let it be said of you that you lived your life to honour the glory of God, to honour the King of Kings, and to lift up him in every part of our lives. And that's our heart, that's what we want to do. Because he's given us everything. We've already learned last year about this incredible love that God has for us, that he wants us to show and to flow out of our lives. But to live that life that just gives him honour, gives him glory, putting God first in every aspect of our life. Verse 10, it's an interesting verse. It says in Psalm 145, it says, all you have made, it says, will praise you. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. We have worship time together, and just how connected are we? I don't know whether you are or not. I'm right there in the front. I'm focused on God. I don't know what you're doing. The last 10 rows could be having parties. I don't know. Trust that you're not. Well, if you are, you're having a party in the presence of God. You're worshiping God with your whole heart. But it says, O Lord, your saints will extol you. We are the saints of the living God, and we are the ones that will praise him. And we will praise him because we love him so much. And I just praise God for that sense of worship today. I know you weren't mucking around. I know your heart really was affixed to God, because the Lord responds to that and fills us with his love and grace as we worship him, as you did this morning in such a beautiful way. But it says, O Lord, your saints will extol you. And that really is about living a life of worship, living a life that gives him glory, that honors him and loves him, that lifts him up and praises him. And I encourage you to do that. All you've made will praise you. Let praise be your portion. Allow praise to come out of your heart and out of your life. O Lord, your saints will extol you. And we'll do that. We'll choose to put God first in every area of our life and know his love and blessing. The other area, the second aspect that we're looking at this year in our theme, is about living a victorious Christian life. Now, we know we all go through heartaches. Some of us go through really difficult heartaches, things that maybe you feel will rip your heart out, maybe really difficult things. But how do we live, not only survive that? I got through that. I don't know how I got through it, but to actually not only just survive, but actually to go through and to grow in whatever situation we find, but also to know some sense of victory in whatever we may face. Because we all face challenges in life. Some fairly drastic challenges in life, but learning to reign and rule with Christ as we go through things. I'm not saying that we're going to breeze through life and nothing will ever happen to us. That only happens when you're not on this world anymore. As long as you have breath in this world, there'll be challenges. But to live a life, a victorious life, to be able to overcome in every situation, learning to reign and rule with Christ as an overcomer. And see, it's not all just pie in the sky when we die. It's about now on this life to living a victorious life. We're not a bunch of frightened little saints that are huddled in the corner trying to put up a fortress, a wall around us, to keep us back from the wicked one and from the world until the Lord comes and rescue us. but rather to be ones that are triumphant, that move forward in victory and power. And really this is about knowing the authority that we have as a believer, that there is an authority that you have in Jesus Christ, an incredible authority, an authority that's been put upon your life that the devil himself will acknowledge, that every demon in hell has to acknowledge there's an authority that's been given to us in Jesus Christ. And we've got to learn to live in that authority, to understand that authority. And I mentioned that series that we're going to be doing, and I pray the whole church will do it. Some will make whatever choices that need to be made, the Overcome a Born to Rule series. It's about that. It's about standing in the authority of Christ and understanding about, and it's a lot about our mind and getting our mind into order, into gear. But to know that we have an incredible authority in Jesus Christ and this kingdom reign, it's acknowledging that his kingdom reigns, that he reigns, but there's a sense that he's told us to reign, not just in eternity with him, but in this life, as we go through things, as we face challenges in our lives. Verse 14 to 20 really encourage us in about that whole sense of having a life that overcomes, and with a sense of the Lord helping us, and certainly the dependence upon the Lord. Verse 14 onwards, it says this, 14 to 20. It says, the Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all those who are bound down. There are times in life we all might fall or stumble, and if you're bowed down, it's the sense of being bowed down here is not bowed down in worship. It's been almost been down, almost in despair, cast down. For the Lord lifts you. It'll help you and he'll strengthen you. And you don't have to be living in a place of defeat. Of this is all too much, this is all too hard, this is just, I can't cope with this, I can't deal with it. But it says the Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts all those up who are bowed down. You may even feel that you've been pummeled down, you feel like maybe you've been beaten down and you're down in this place. But the Lord lifts us up. And so we don't have to stay there. We don't have to live there. Whatever struggle, whatever strife, whatever we go through, we don't have to be in that position of defeat and despair. That's never to be our portion as a believer. And so the Lord uplifts us. So the eyes of all look to you when you give them their food at the proper time. And that's the sense of God just providing for us. Talks about food at proper time. It's not talking about snacks on tap. It's talking about food at our proper time. And just what we need, when we need it, God will give that to us. What you need, what you really need, and when you need it, God will have that for us. He has that sense of provision, whatever it is, whether it's a physical need, whether it's an emotional need, whether it's just that touch of God, whatever it is, at the proper time, he'll give it to us. And so we're not left wanting. We're never people that are saying, oh, if I only had this, if I only had that, and use that as some way, even to ourselves, to justify, well, I'm going to stay down low. He gives us our food at a proper time. And we're looking to him. It says, the eyes of all who look to you. And obviously that's a key too. We've got to be looking to God. If we ignore God, then don't expect the blessings to flow in your life. But if we keep our eyes upon him, it says you give them food at the proper time. It says you open your hand, and it says that you satisfy. Satisfy the desires of every living thing. And we have many desires. I'll talk a little bit about some things a little bit later, but God is not a stingy God. He is an open-handed God. He's not a closed-fist God that you have to pray and hold your breath enough that you might be able to pry one little finger and then, oh, I'm going to fast a little bit more and pray a little bit harder and try to be a better person and try to do all these things. Oh, I got another finger and coax him a little bit more, twist his arm a little bit more, make a deal with him, do something good. Oh, I got another finger. And then finally, God will release it to me. Now, God comes to us with an open hand. He is a gracious, loving Father. We just got to keep our eyes on him. And that satisfies the desires of every living thing. The Lord watches over all who love him. What a wonderful promise that is. God is watching over you. Whatever we face, whatever, we've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a little bit more about these, obviously, right across the year. But he's watching over us. And therefore, that's why we can live in a victorious situation. Even when everything seems to be against us, when all the odds are stacked against us, when it seems like the gates of hell are marching against us, when it seems like everything that you seem to know seems to fall apart, that we've got the promise that the Lord is watching over us. And for that reason, and for that reason alone, is really why we will stand in whatever we face, whatever circumstance, because He's watching over us. He's loving and He's righteous in all His ways. And He loves us. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. And He hears our cry. He hears the cry of all those who cry out to Him. God touches our hearts and He satisfies us. He saves us so that we will stand and be victorious. When we talk about living a victorious life, I'm not saying about running around and living in denial, living in a fantasy land. I'm talking about dealing with the realities of life, with the power and the authority of the risen Christ to help us reign in every situation and circumstance. The final area that we're looking at this year is about living to extend the kingdom of God, and that's really what we're going to spend a moment on. In just a moment, we're going to start doing this Book of Life prayer. And living to extend the kingdom of God and saying, that's what I really, my mission is to extend the kingdom of God. And I want to see that grow, the kingdom. Now, when we talk about the kingdom of God being established or extended, we'll hear a little bit later, the kingdom of God is all-encompassing. God reigns over all things, over all time. But when we talk about extending the kingdom of God or extending His dominion or people coming under His authority, it really means about people that are in rebellion to the King of Kings coming into subjection to Him, to become His subject, to come under His authority. And even though God rules over everything and every person, He reigns supreme. But we talk about people who come to that point of acknowledging, who bow their knee before Him and say, "You are the King of Kings, and You are my King, and You are my Lord, and You are my Savior." And they surrender their whole life to them, and they move out of the kingdom of darkness into His glorious light as a transition. They're in a kingdom. People don't understand that. People who don't know Christ don't realize they are in a kingdom. They're in the kingdom of this world. They're in out of the kingdom of darkness is what they're in. But when we come to Christ, we come under His subjection. Now, God is King over everything, Lord of all things, all time. But when our heart is rebellious, but when it surrenders and comes over and says, "Lord, You acknowledges what already is and what already was and already will be. You are the King of Kings." Then they move over under as an acknowledgement. And that's our prayer, as we want to extend the kingdom of God and to live as His representative. We're going to talk about that. What an amazing thing it is to represent the King. You know, we have ambassadors that represent our country. But what a thing to represent God, represent the King of Kings. What an amazing thing. And to have that job of declaring and extending His kingdom. Now, what we asked you to do last week, and we're going to take a few minutes now just to pray, is we have this Book of Life prayer. And every year we do this. And I trust that you brought this along, or if you didn't get one, if you forgot to bring it and you didn't get one when you put your hand up, if you still haven't got one, put your hand up right now. And this is for everyone to do in the church. And do it personally. Don't just do, "Oh, you were doing a family one." No, do it personally. This is personal responsibility. Not my wife's got one, I'll join with her, or my kids or my parents. No, no, you take responsibility and say, no, I want to see people come into the kingdom. Because I am, this year, I'm going forth as a representative declaring the kingdom of God. Just bring up the next scripture, the verse there. And verse 11 and 12, it says, "They will tell," this is speaking prophetically about what you are going to do as a part of God's kingdom, as one of His children. And this is what it says. It says of you, this verse is about you, stick your name on it. It says, "They will tell of the glory of your kingdom." This is declaring about what you are going to do, prophetically speaking about you, because you're one of the saints of God. "They will tell of your kingdom and speak of your might." Wonderful testimonies of what God has done. And I'm excited to hear different testimonies I've been hearing around the place. One day we have to pull them together and share some of those. "So that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." They will tell of the glory of your kingdom. That's you. This is speaking about you. This is prophetically speaking over you, what you are going to do. And one of the ways that we're going to do that is to be praying, but also speaking with this Book of Life prayer. We know it says in the back of this, it says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. You can read it on the back of your form. Books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. And all the names who were not found written in the book of life were thrown into the lake of fire. So it really gives you the contrast with which kingdom that you're actually in. And those who are not in the kingdom of God, as loving and as gracious God is, there is a day of reckoning. As we read on the scripture there, it says the wicked he will destroy, and ultimately everyone who doesn't acknowledge his lordship ends up in this lake of fire for eternal punishment, not just for 1,000 years of agony, but forever. And therefore, we want to see people coming under his dominion. You have family members, you have loved ones, you have workmates, you have schoolmates, you have uni mates, you've got neighbours, you've got people that you see at the supermarket every week or in the local milk bar or whatever, people you have a relationship with, not just, I'm going to pray for everyone. Well, you don't know everyone, and there's no way you're going to speak to everyone. But we just remember the challenge this year was, I'm going to find one person, and I'm going to be praying for that person, and I'm going to be speaking to that person. And I want to see them come into the kingdom of God. There's room for about to write half a dozen names here. I said, I've got two or three, but maybe just even if you write one, that person that you're really going to pray. And this is really what we're going to commit ourselves to this morning. And what we do is we put these in the Book of Life prayer. There's a prayer book over there you can see in the corner. We collect all these and we have corporate prayer gatherings. We pray for these and the intercessors pray over these names. But you're really saying, I'm going to pray for these people. Because I know what the alternative is. The kingdom of heaven, eternal kingdom with Christ. We know what the options are. And so we say, no, I want to be serious about it. So what we're going to do is commit ourselves. I commit myself to pray for the following people who I am in relationship or have personal contact with. So don't put, some world leader or somebody you don't know. Don't put, some rock star that you don't know. If you know them, lead them to the Lord. Bless you. But this is people that you personally have a relationship with. I'll be alert to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and seek opportunities to share my faith. So this is not I've done my little bit for the year, I wrote down the name and now I forget about it. This is a commitment. I'm going to pray for them. But also, not only just be praying, say, I spent the whole year praying for them, but I'm going to open this thing and I'm going to speak about the love of Christ. I'm going to do what the scripture prophesied. I'm going to tell of the glory of your kingdom and I'm going to speak of your might so that they might know. So they might know too of your acts and the glorious splendor, the joy, the delight of being in your kingdom, the awesome power and majesty of your kingdom. So it tells us what to do. It says, pray for each person by name. Pray for yourself as well. Pray for boldness and courage to declare his word and the opportunity to witness. Pray that the message is clear and understood. Pray that the message of your life does not betray them with the message of your mouth. So if you're there swearing, drunk, trying to witness to them, get witnessed to by a drunk, no real conviction is going to happen there. So our life is not going to disqualify what comes out of our mouth. But that won't happen anyway if we're living to honour God. Pray that you may speak with a gracious heart. No, you need to be saved. You know where you're going to end up? This is you. That one's going to... speak with the love of God, gracious words and a gracious heart. And we want to see these people in the kingdom of God. Amen? There's people that you know and love, and you want to see them in the kingdom of God. You know, there could be someone from the kids playing sport is fantastic. It might be one of the parents that you get to talk to every week. And this one new parent who hadn't come along at the cricket, we're just talking about the Lord the whole time. Hasn't got a church background or anything. And he's asking me questions. A normal question when they find out I'm a pastor is, end of discussion. Nice to meet you. But he was asking, where's the church? And then we had a really great conversation. And so I really want to target him. And I've got a couple of other names here as well. But we want to do that. What we want you to do is to, if you haven't written your names, have you written your names in this morning? Have you written those down? Hopefully you did it during the week, but if you didn't or you forgot, this is in two halves. You'll notice that it's duplicated both sides. Well, why am I doing it twice for? Well, the reason is because you rip it in half, and the side with the signature on it, you keep. The one with the signature, you keep that. That's between you and God. Because you're saying, God, I'm going to pray for these people because I really do care. I'm not just going through the motions. I'm not playing a little game today. This is life and eternal death that we're talking about. And Lord, this is real. I can't get any more real than this. So Lord, I'm going to keep that one that I'm signing. And I want to make that commitment to pray out of love for those people. The other half, which was on the left, the one without the signature down the bottom, that's the one we're going to collect all of those. They all are collected, they're collated, and those names are put there in that book of life. There's the Lamb's book of life in heaven, which at the end of the day, at the end of the age, all the books of heaven are open and they check through the names. In, boom, out, in. Everyone divided, like dividing sheep and goats, like wheat and weeds, and different images that the scripture gives of that. But we've got our own book of life, and it's our prayer that every person we're putting in that book will end up in his book. That's why we call it the book of life prayer. So has everybody done that? What am I going to do now is I'm going to get you to huddle into little groups of about 8 or 9. Please do that. Keep them in prayer. The stewards would like to collect those. The one that's not signed, the stewards would just collect those now. So the stewards could run around. Just hold them up. You can just either pass them to the end of the aisle to make it easier for the stewards. Just pass them to the end of the aisle. And if you're on the end of the aisle, you can collect them. There you go. You can put those in. Ooh. Praise God. Encourage you with that. It speaks of you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your mind. So praise God. Let's do that. Let's do that. Just want to very quickly share a couple more little thoughts from this passage that we've been looking at. One of the other things it talks about, it says in our verse, and particularly our verse that we're looking at this year, it says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures for all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving to all who he has made. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And just remember, that's the kingdom that we're under. We're under his kingdom that endures, and his kingdom that endures forever and ever and ever. And we only have entry into that through our Lord Jesus Christ, into this eternal kingdom. 2 Peter 1:11 says, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we want for those people in the book of life. They're going to get a rich welcome. Welcome into the eternal kingdom. And just remember, though, that eternity doesn't start when you die. Eternity has always been. We entered into eternity even before, the scripture says, he says, before you were even born, I knew you. And so God already had us in his heart. He already knew about us. But when we come into his eternal kingdom, it's not when we die. It's when we give our heart to Christ. That's when we come into the eternal kingdom. And that's what I'm saying. We're not just waiting until we die. And then I'll be in the kingdom of heaven. But just remember, the kingdom of God is far more bigger than the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the sense of eternity and all of those things ahead of us. But the kingdom of God is bigger, because the kingdom of God is now and was and goes back this way, as well as going forward into eternity, into eternal life with him. And so his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And so remember when Jesus, as I said, Jesus prayed, he said, thy kingdom come. Well, the kingdom was already in eternity, always already existed. Remember, I said before, it's about people coming under the dominion and under his authority, acknowledging that he is the King of Kings when we talk about establishing or extending the kingdom of God. It's an everlasting kingdom. And I praise God for all who have given their heart to Jesus Christ, because we have assurance for ever eternity. An assurance that we know it's sealed by the Spirit of God. The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is like that deposit, the guaranteeing what is to come ahead. The Holy Spirit indwelling within us when we give our life to Christ. It's our guarantee, our deposit that guarantees that eternal inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. So it's an everlasting kingdom. The other thing is it's an enduring kingdom. He has enduring dominion. And when we talk about dominion, we talk about rulership, we talk about authority, we talk about power. Because what good is a king who is the king of the earth? Well, they can't back that up. If I declared myself as the president of the world today, you'd all just, some of you would laugh, some of you would start praying for me, some of you would get some help for this guy, you ship him off out of here. You have to have something behind that. Our government has, okay, that has a legislative process, it has courts that are behind all of that, has an army, which helps, has some power, has authority, those things are behind it. And so God has this enduring dominion. And it says in Ephesians 1:20-22, as you can read it there, it says, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also the one to come. This total authority, total power given unto Christ. And so this, he has dominion, he has full power that lasts forever. We know that God actually, and I'll talk about this another time, but how in the Garden of Eden, God said, I give you dominion over the earth. And of course, what did man do? First thing man does is he hands dominion over to the devil when he sins, when he takes that apple. And so he gives the dominion that was given to him, he gives it to the devil. So the dominion of this world, which was given to man, he hands over to the devil. But then Christ came and stomped the serpent, stomped the devil on the head and said, hey, hang on, I reign here, buddy. I reign here. Now, there's still a lot of people that are still caught up in the sin of the world and in the world system who have not acknowledged what Christ has done. But here's the final word when he comes back to this earth and makes it very clear, his rule and his dominion. But he has power. He's a powerful God. He's got power to back up everything that he says and who he is. He's a powerful God. He is a ruler with authority and with power. His word goes. And the devil can't say, no, God. God has spoken. The devil has to run for cover. He cannot stand against God. He knows his days are numbered. He knows his time. He knows he's already defeated. He's trying to take down as many as he can with him. But God has all power and authority. He is the living God, it says in Daniel 6:26. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed and his dominion will never end. He is always powerful God. He is a mighty, mighty God. He is eternally powerful. He rules, but he has all power. And it's so important that we understand that, because sometimes we think God can't do this. It's too hard. This disease, it's just, you know, there's these ones we can believe for, but those ones, well, they're just a little bit too hard. Or this miracle that I need, this provision, this relationship that is just in tatters, that it's just too hard. Well, no. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing that his power cannot extend to, nothing that he cannot deal with, nothing that he cannot change. So he has enduring dominion. We have to talk all about these things in detail. The other thing this scripture talks about, so it says dominion endures for generation. It says the Lord is faithful to all his promises. And so another aspect of his kingdom, not only is it an everlasting kingdom that has eternal dominion, but it has continuing faithfulness are a part of God's kingdom. A continuing faithfulness. Because what kind of a king makes these big decrees? Hereby we decree, da 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 da. And nothing ever happens. Now we're really onto our politicians who make all sorts of wonderful claims and promises. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on in terms of politics. But when they make all these promises and it doesn't happen, people get pretty disillusioned by that. When whatever house, whatever side of politics they're from, if people make a promise and they don't do it, they go, well, you know, really, what's going on here? But when God says something, his kingdom has a faithfulness about it. When God says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. And if he said something in your life, there's a promise that he's spoken over your life, then God is going to do that. He's going to do that. He doesn't have promises that, oh, look, sorry, I don't have the money now to do that. Or it was a core promise, or it was a non-core promise, or, you know, at the time, I really sincerely meant it, but now, you know, I can't do that. If God speaks, he makes his edict, God is going to do it. He is a faithful, faithful God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Notice all these things come back to Christ. They are yes in Christ, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us, to the glory of God. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. But see, we don't always say the amen. We say, I hope so. I wish it was. Might work for them. I wish it could work for me. We don't say the amen. And I pray that this year, as we have a look at the kingdom of God and we see all the promises and how wonder of God's kingdom is his dominion, there will be an amen that rises up in your spirit. And because the amen is spoken by us, We have to come into agreement with it. God has done, said it. He has power. He has dominion. That the same way is I have to come into his kingdom. I have to subject myself to him to become one of his royal subjects, to come under his authority and rule and blessing and provision, all those things, rather than judgment. And the same way, the amen has to be said in my heart. I've got to grab a hold of it. The yes and amen is spoken by us. Doesn't matter how many promises. And there's promises that we look at. But how many of them do you really say yes and amen with a knowing? Not wishful thinking, not trying to convince myself. If I hum and say it enough times, I might actually believe it. But something deep within your spirit rises up, says yes and amen. I grab a hold of it. Not maybe, not if it could. Oh, Lord, only if you would. Oh, I wish, I hope. No, yes. The yes resonates. It echoes in our spirit that God has spoken. He is faithful. It says the Lord is faithful to all his promises. So what has God promised you? Not 2 out of 3 ain't bad. All his promises. And so grab a hold of that. I pray this year we'll say amen in our spirit. That all his promises are yes and amen in Christ. It's only in Christ. It's only in Christ. Put Christ out of the picture, then you can wish and hope and hold your breath, do whatever you like, but it's in Christ and through Christ. And so part of God's kingdom, always remember, there is a faithfulness about his kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom that has incredible dominion, and power, and there's a faithfulness about it. He's not a politician that promises one thing and delivers another or doesn't do that. He is a king of kings and Lord of lords, and he does what he says. He doesn't mess around. He's not playing games with us. When he says you'll do greater things, when he says by his stripes you were healed, when he says all of these things, he's not a God that's there and saying, oh, gee, I hope they'll buy that. I hope they vote for me. I've given them some good promises and, you know, I hope that convinces enough people to follow me. He knows who he is. He's the eternal king, the one who was and is to come. He's the Alpha and Omega, who has full authority, full power and dominion, the eternal king. And the point is, though, is whether we, as we come under subjection to him, is whether what God has said, there's a yes resonating in my heart, so I'm going to grab a hold of it. I love what Pastor John wrote in the newsletter this week. I'll just read it to you. It says, Joshua 18:3. So Joshua said to the Israelites, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? How long are you going to wait to take possession of the land? God has given us all that we need, but we must take action to possess it. The thinking is often that if God has given us something, that we should automatically and effortlessly receive it. I love this as much as you, but it's not God's way. Sure, some things happen without effort, but most of the time, life is about actively possessing what God has already given. Whole Christian life is about faith. Faith is about what we don't see yet. Faith is based on what the Word of God says. Faith pleases God. We read of the promises of God to us in his word, promises like joy, peace, contentment, victory, power and authority. Promises he's given yet require us to possess, to take action on and to lay a hold of. What has God said to you? What do you need to do to see this become a reality in your life? And we need to do that. We need to grab it. You get promise of employment that God's going to say, oh, well, God's going to give me a job. Well, actually, promise that God's going to look after us. He's going to give me food at the proper time. So what do? Oh, I'm going to just quit my job and sit around and wait for God to... No, Scripture tells us that he actually has given us... Part of the blessing he's given us is the power to create wealth. We can work with our hands. We can do whatever we do. We can earn and be provided for in that way. And so there is a sense that we have to walk into what God has. Don't lie around lamenting, oh, I haven't received that. He promised it. God, you've given me a raw deal. You've given it to everyone else. What have I done wrong? Or... maybe you're not who you said you are. No, God is everything that he says he is. He's faithful, faithful, faithful. So I'm going to grab a hold of it. I'm going to allow my own spirit to learn to rise up and say yes and amen. God said it and I believe it. Amen. I'm going to grab a hold of it. So we'll pray that as we talk about the kingdom this year, something is going to rise in your own spirit. You're going to grab a hold of those promises of God and say yes and amen. Amen within your spirit. Because God is the eternal king who reigns. His eternal kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. He has eternal dominion and he is continually faithful. And the final thing this morning, very quickly, is about that he has lasting love. It tells us that he says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. And we don't really need to be told about this. We spent last year talking about radical love. But that's the other aspect. Four main things I want you to understand about the kingdom of God. It is an everlasting kingdom. He has eternal dominion. He rules with power and authority. And he's faithful. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't play games. When God says it, he's going to perform it. And he has the power to do that. Doesn't mess with us. He's got the power to bring about the very things that he promised. And he's faithful to those promises. And so we need to understand that he's a faithful, but also to know about he is loving, always acts in love, never has a bad day. Hands up if you've ever had a bad day. Keep your hand down if you're lying. We've all had a bad day. We all have bad days, don't we? But God never has a bad day. God never wakes up on the wrong side of the universe. He always has a good day. He is a loving God. He is a faithful God. He has lasting love. And that's the kind of king I'd want to follow. I wouldn't want to be under a powerful, he does what he says, but he's a tyrant. Who wants to be under a tyrant? Who wants to be under a dictator? We've had all these nations that have had dictators that have done atrocities to their people, the way things that have happened over history and things that even happen in the world now. And that person might, I'm the boss of this country, I'm el presidente, I voted for myself. And they've got power, they've got guns and things. And I say, follow me or I'll shoot you, and they will, but there's no love in it. But God, part of God's kingdom is this whole love dimension, this lasting love. And Revelations 1:5 says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and saved us, and freed us from our sins by his blood. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, he rose again from the dead, and ruler of the kings of the earth. There's no one above him. Full dominion, power and authority. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. He proved how much he loves us by his death on the cross, by his blood that washes away our sin. And that's the kind of God that I want to worship and love and honor. And I praise God that for every one of us who accepts Christ, we come out of the kingdom of darkness, which is dark by definition and by experience in every way, into the kingdom of his light, into his glorious kingdom, where there is a wonderful promise of eternal life. The other kingdom, we know where that ends up. There's a lot of fire, very hot, a lot of pain, a lot of agony in eternity. But we who call on Christ are in this kingdom. And what a wonderful kingdom that it is. And it's a kingdom that it's an eternal kingdom, where there is that enduring dominion, where there is continuing faithfulness there. And then there's this lasting love. So his kingdom is an amazing thing. Just remember four words this morning about the kingdom. And they're on the bottom of your bookmark. He's eternally powerful. Just remember this. Eternally powerful, faithfully loving. Don't remember anything else this morning. We talk about the kingdom of God. Okay, it's eternally powerful and faithfully loving. And that summarizes really the heart of the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning, and you've been hearing about this kingdom, and you think, man, I don't know which kingdom I'm in. Well, I'll tell you, if you're not sure, I'll tell you with certainty where you are. Because when you're in this kingdom, when you're under Christ, when you're in his eternal kingdom, you know. The light's on. Somebody's home. The glory of God is there. When you're over here, there's doubt, there's hoping, there's wishing. I hope I'm good enough. I hope, gee whiz, I hope when I die I'm going to make it. I hope I'm going to be good enough. Maybe you've never even heard about this. Maybe you've never heard about Christ. And the scripture says in John 3, it says that unless you've been born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Unless you come to Christ, you can't get there. Only way through Jesus Christ. So if you're like that here this morning, at the end of the service, we give opportunity to pray for people. And if you say, look, I want to be in that kingdom under God, under his loving dominion. I don't want to be in the devil's kingdom. I don't want to be in darkness, because there's no in-between places, one or the other. And if you like that this morning, when we give opportunity for prayer for people, then you come and say, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come into his eternal kingdom, and we'd love to pray with you this morning. But let's all stand to our feet this morning as we draw to a close. You need prayer this morning, and maybe there's something that there's a promise that you've been holding on to for a long time, and you begin to wish and wonder, and but this spirit doesn't say amen to a promise as God has said. You need prayer this morning for whatever it is. We'd love to pray with you, but particularly this morning, especially this morning for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, then we're going to give you the opportunities to walk to the front here and say, I surrender to the King who gave me everything, who loves me so much that I might be in his kingdom. I'd love to pray for you this morning. So, Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our theme this year, Lord, of kingdom reign. Lord, what a wonderful kingdom that we're in. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to live a life that honors you. And, Lord, we will do that, Lord, and are doing that, Lord. Learn all the more how to grow in that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for a kingdom, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as part of your kingdom, Lord, we're going to learn to live a victorious life. Whatever life may throw at us, Lord, that we're going to learn to live in victory, Lord, that we're going to also then be ones who will speak and tell of your wonder, Lord, of your glory. We're going to tell people, Lord, again, we pray for those people, those names that were written down, that they will be in your book of life, Lord, in heaven, Father. And Lord, we also, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we just be mindful of your kingdom. Lord, it is an everlasting kingdom, Lord, that has a dominion that never ceases, Lord, that you're so faithful. You're a faithful God. And Lord, you're a loving God. Lord, see those things in our spirit and heart. Lord, we're looking forward to a great year. Lord, as we grow and understand more of who you are and learn about your kingdom, Father. But Lord, we just thank you more than anything that without Jesus Christ, Lord, we know we're nothing. And we thank you so much for everything Jesus has done. Amen.